Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Fordville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G., you on the line?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G., you on the line tonight, sir?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. We thank God we made it to another Thursday. God has blessed us all week long, and we're looking forward to another blessed week and Mother's Day coming up. So thank God for all of these days that He has provided us. So we're going to get into the Word, so we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we would be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G., we're in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, and we just last week and week before that, we're seeing how Satan is always trying to thwart the progress of God or the people of God. And if people are not careful, it can allow him to get a foothold and influence them to do things that are not godly. And we saw that in the people during the first century church, particularly Ananias and Sapphira, where they had a thing where they didn't want to be left out, or they wanted to be seen as, you know, just as good or better than others who were giving to the church, but they didn't want to actually give, but they wanted to be seen as giving. And Peter called them out, and they fell flat dead because they were not doing something as led by the Holy Spirit, but they were doing something as led by Satan. And we compare that with how in the Old Testament how Cain slew Abel because one offering was accepted and one wasn't. And it's all about the relationship you have with God, how you would give and not pretend like you're giving, and just so you can be seen. We talked about the old time where people would buy stuff at the church, or we use the example of pews. They put
right.
the name on the pew, so they weren't given for the right reason. And so that was the principle of the thing is not given for the right reason. And Ananias and Sapphira, they paid a price for not giving for the right reason. And that's the thing of today is if your heart's right with God, you'll do the right thing. And,
right.
And no one would have to prod you or you know, beg you to do the right thing if your heart is right with God. And so this is one of the things that Peter in the first century church dealt with. They dealt with the constant barrage, the constant attack of people being persuaded or used by Satan to try to bring confusion, try to bring division in the church. And you and Dr. G were expressing how when you guys first got the new birth, how that was the case, and
okay.
how those folks who were trying to be in division and were being led by Satan instead of led by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit fell dead.
Amen.
And so, you know, this is not just a first century church thing. This is even in the 21st century, and,
yep.
and how powerful it is that. You know, the Holy Spirit will call these things out, and when it's doing detriment harm to the church, people still can face the ultimate physical death. She will do.
Amen. Amen. And you know, that's one of Satan's favorite tools is division and to be divisive. And we were actually talking about it some in our prayer service last night about how we have to stay focused on the Lord. Because, you know, when your church is really doing things and following the Lord, trying to bring unity together, helping others, praising and glorifying God, Satan
mm-hmm.
will just step in there if you're not paying attention and try to cause division.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be like little stuff where somebody says something
yep.
about something and somebody says something about it, and then it just gets blown up. And that's why we have to stay prayed up, and that's why we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. So that, you know, the Bible says if somebody slaps you on one cheek, you turn the other. But what happens is we have so much pride and we want to please
mm-hmm.
people so much that we react to if someone does something that we don't necessarily like. And then just that quick, it starts causing division in the church. And that's where the leadership in the church, which a lot of times is where you have the most division, you know, in my experience that I've seen, not so much
mm-hmm.
Unless you're praying on it and consistently praying over it, that's where the leadership in the church has to recognize that, okay, you know what, we're praising, we're glorifying God, Satan is going to get mad, and what he's going
right.
to do is he's going to tap somebody on the shoulder, and it's going to be like, remember when we were kids and we were in the car, and we would tell Mom, well, he looked at me, or he's touching me.
Right.
And it's the same type of thing at the church. It's like, well, I don't like the way they rolled their eyes at me, or they didn't speak to me today. And just that quick, that divisiveness will come in the church and cause that type of thing to happen. So we have to stay prayed up to not allow it.
Amen. And that is the key is to stay the course. It's the old example of the wheat and the tares are growing together. So it's like there's always going to be the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist
right.
working against the church. And so again, you have to understand that when things are going well in church, the spirit is high, people get saved, people get healed, people getting delivered, that there's always going to be an element of the spirit of Antichrist that's going to try to thwart that or to bring that down. It's a constant in the life of the believer. And when you understand that that's a constant, you always have to pray and watch and pray as well as pray. That even while you got your eyes closed, pray that your spiritual eyes are open to realize that the enemy is upset and he's got his agenda. And just like, you know, God has his agenda and the Holy Spirit has his agenda, the spirit of Antichrist has his agenda. And looking who he can devour. The Bible teaches it that you know, that Satan's like a roaring lion going through and fro the earth, seeing whom he may devour. And the night when Jesus was betrayed, Jesus told Peter, you know, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. You know, it's like, you know, and that he's going to deny him three times before the cock crows. So even in these moments of the first century church, where the church is being blessed tremendously, where signs and wonders and miracles are being done in the church, right out in the open, you see the spirit of Antichrist that is at work and alive and well in the earth, and using whoever he wants to use to try to create division, try to create confusion, stop what God's plan is. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I was just sitting and thinking, and it's important that the leaders, we have to remain focused, and as you said, pray that we've got to be just like Peter was, and we've got to stay the course, but we've also got to keep in mind that everybody in the church is not saved. Everybody is not on Jesus' side, and we have to stay focused to do what God wants, even if it means that, you know, we're going to hurt some folks' feelings, they're going to get mad, they're going to leave, and people seem to think that, okay, if they leave the church, that's going to hurt the church and the pastor. And I had to learn the hard way. You know, a pastor friend, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, told me if they leave, so be it. Let them leave, because God is not going to let his church go under.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And that's the constant spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist is a spirit that's in this world right now that is anti everything that Christ stands for. And when you have that understanding, and leadership teaches the congregants that this is what's going to happen, that this is how Jesus overcame it, and this is how we'll overcome it, then we're able to continue to stay on one accord. And that's the power of the first century church, is they did what Jesus told them to do, and they stayed on one accord. And the plan of the Holy Spirit, the plan of God, went forward, and many people were saved. But if we get to be an emotional led instead of spirit led,
right,
Sheila G, that's when that spirit of Antichrist can take foothold. Sheila G.
And amen. That's why I always say that all the time, is one of Satan's favorite ploys is to wear us out emotionally. And that's why we have to learn the difference of being unhappy but still having the joy of the Lord. And then you can focus on that joy of the Lord even though your situation is challenging and it doesn't look good. You know, I was talking about last night that all of us have been in a situation where we've been surrounded by a ton of people, but you still kind of felt alone. But once you know Christ, you're like, I can be alone, but I'm not going to be lonely, because God is with me. He's going to give me that comfort that I need. And it's important that we focus on that, because Satan will pop on our emotions in a second. And all of us, we all have sinned and come short. So all of us have reacted and been in our feelings at some point. But the difference is we know that God is within us, so we're able to turn that thing around because our character is different now. We recognize it immediately, recognize that we fell short, and we go to the Lord and like, okay, you know what? No, I was all in my feelings. I was all in my emotions. Lord, help me get myself together. Whereas if you don't have Christ in you, you're going to continue to let that fester. You're going to continue to let that grow. And the more you let that emotion dwell within you, the further you draw from Christ. And the next thing you know, you're still stuck in the mud. And then you're waddling in it, and as opposed to trying to get out of it. That's what grace is for. When we fall in the mud, grace helps us to get out of it, versus if we don't know the Lord, we're just going to waddle in it.
Amen. It's something, like you said, everyone, you know, goes through.
Right.
But we have to edify and build up each other, the body of Christ, to be able to deal with that. I like to use the example of the healing characteristics of our body. Is amazing. One example is when you have a foreign object in your eye, your eyelashes, you know, blink and water to get that foreign object out. And, you know, those who suffer from allergies, something's in your nasal cavity, you have something called histamine, and histamine attacks certain molecules of pollen and tries to flush them out, and the body working together is able to survive some of the harshest elements and things of this world, because the creation of this body, our physical body, is awesome. To see how we live so many years and go through so many challenges, externally, internally, that we're able to survive. And so the human body is an example that Paul used for the spiritual, as a spiritual body for the body of Christ, of how we, as the body of Christ, have the ability to work together to keep moving for the cause of Christ. And we have the ability to edify and build each other up. The Bible says that we, as we learn the word of God, we can use the word of God for instructions of righteousness, for correction, for rebuke, to get us back on track. But I think sometimes the body of Christ, or the church in particular, which is the body of Christ, doesn't think we need correction or instructions in righteousness or rebuke. And I think sometimes when you, as a leader, and Dr. G, you can speak to that, as a leader, you call things out and you tell them what the word says. I think sometimes people want to go back to that old me, instead of the new creature, the new creation in Christ, and they want to go back. I call it to that ghetto lifestyle. And the old saying is that you can take people out of the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of there. But they would go back to their ghetto lifestyle. But if you're a new creature in Christ, you have to kill that old man daily. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to look at the word that will give you discipline, instructions, and righteousness, and that the word will correct us. And you have to see this correction as being beneficial to the body, because if the body of Christ continues to act in a way that's not beneficial to the body, then that slows or hinders the cause of Christ. And so as the leaders stand up and say, thus said the Lord, members have to understand, and the body has to understand, this is for our own good. We're doing these things so that the body can not only survive, but it can thrive. Dr. G.
You're right, and I agree with you. The thing is, we have to, as leaders, we have to be focused and on the spiritual, and we have to definitely feed that spirit and be replenished with the spirit daily, so that when the enemy does attack, we can go back to the word, and we have to continue and understand that it's through the word and through the power of the Holy Spirit that we get what we need to share with the people, because people are going to be people. Like you said, you know, they going to go back to that ghettoism, and we have to remind them of what the Lord says. No, they're not going to want to hear it. but it's important for us to stand and give it to them anyhow. It's just like when we were kids, we didn't always like, you know, get that medicine that our mothers were giving us to help us colds and flu, but we took it and it helped made us better. And we have to understand that as leaders, our members will respect that. They may not like it, but they definitely will respect it. And if we're doing what God wants according to his word, and we got to always, you know, refer back to the word. Well, this is what the word says. This is not what I say. God said it, and we've got to do it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's the final authority. It's what the word says. And that trumps all. That's funny. In the name of our president. But the word trumps all. that's funny. But the word even trumps, there's nobody up above the word, you know. It trumps everything. And so with that as their basis, so the word, you know, as the basis, the church was able to move forward from this very difficult event that happened in chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And if you go down to verse 11, where we left off last week, it says, this is chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things." So in other words, this was a wake-up call to the church. And I can only imagine Dr. G, you and Sheila G, when you all were confronted by Satan through leadership in at New Birth, where, you know, Dr. G stood on the word of God, and people started dying when they were challenging the word. And I can only imagine the fear that came upon the church when people heard it. You know, this person acted up in the church meeting, and soon after that, they were dead. Sheila G.
Amen. And you're exactly right. It was the kind of fear that, as it speaks here, because it was, in one of the situations, it was within days of how that whole divisiveness and that evilness just came up. And in fact, my mom was there at the time, and she stood up and said during the meeting that this is not right. You're not right. This is not godly. And this is and so it was almost like the Holy Spirit used her to issue that warning. And then when we went on vacation, the next day that person had a heart attack and died. So when we came back, it was that fear, and there was such a strong fear that no one really talked about it. It was just that whole, you know, we're getting ready for the funeral now, this, that, and the other. But you could sense it. It was like, you know, how you try the spirit by the spirit, and the whole attitude within the church was very mellow, very humble. It was not contentious after that point, because it was like, okay, God is not playing. He's serious. We need to get ourselves in check and get in line and follow the Lord. And it was just very, very interesting to me that to this day, no one really talked about it, but you can sense it, feel it. And you could tell that everybody was like, okay, that was a sign from the Lord telling new people to get yourself together.
Amen. Amen. And again, it's tracking right along with the word, right along with Acts 5. And after this church experienced this, and every challenge that comes to the church is tracking along with the word of God, and it's an experience for the church. And we have to look at those as experiences that are trying to our church, to our faith, that it's there to test us, to make us strong, and to allow us to get back in line with the word of God. And when we're aligned with the word of God, what happens is ministry can go forward, the purpose and the plan of God can go forward. People can get saved, people can get healed, signs and wonders can occur because that hindrance to the plan of God, to the purpose of God, to the great command of God is free to be able to do that. And churches go through those cycles of where they are tested, where they are challenged, and where they have to get through these tests and get through these challenges to be able to grow and to overcome, so that the word of God, the plan of God, the mission of God can go forward. But every day is a challenge, and churches go through those cycles. They go through these cycles of these great challenges coming against them. But once they make it through these great challenges, then ministry occurs in powerful ways. And so you see that ebb and you see that flow in ministry. And the glorious days are wonderful. The highs are tremendous. But if anybody's been in church long enough, the lows are just as devastating. It's like the pendulum can swing where you're on a powerful high, and then here comes the test, here comes the challenge, and then you can swing through that valley. But that's why the psalmist said that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, that he wouldn't fear any evil because God was with him. And the church has to realize that God is with them. And even though we go through those valleys in the shadow of death, in times of great testing, God is always there with us. Dr. G.
Well, you're right, because even after all that we went through, some of the other people, especially through the young adults, who really didn't have a good understanding of the Lord or his word, and they were just going through the motions, God had to clean house over and over again until he get the right folk in there. And, you know, it's amazing how when you watch it take place, you have better appreciation of what the Lord is doing. And, again, God is not going to let his church die. And he'll put certain folk there. He'll send you people when it's time. And as long as the leader is being led by the Holy Spirit and according to their word, God will definitely get the glory, and the church will be blessed by what goes on.
Amen.
So after this, as we go back to chapter Acts chapter 5, look at verse 12. So after this great challenge, enemy's attack, there is a free up of the Spirit to be able to continue to minister. So let's look at Acts chapter 5, verse 12. It says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So, again, the church is back on one accord. And ministry is moving forward, and signs and wonders began to flow freely. And this is what we have the mindset of, is to have our radar on, our spiritual radar on, is when you see division, when you see confusion, understand that's not of God. That's what Satan's trying to prevent the church from carrying out the plan of God. And it's a simple principle, but sometimes when your feelings, when your emotions, you don't see it on that radar. And you know, the battle, you know, when we talk about spiritual warfare, and Paul wrote about that in Ephesians, in its sixth chapter of Ephesians, about it's not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual fight. It's a fight where you can't see it with your physical eye, but it's a spiritual battle that goes on in the spirit that has to be waged on a daily basis, and unbeknownst to us, we're spirits that live in a body, but sometimes the body wants to do its own thing, and so the spirit has to overcome the flesh in order to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh, and it's a challenge. And if anybody's ever walked this earth, to say it's not a challenge, you're not telling the truth. But we have to get so to the point where we're ready to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh, so we can recognize those signs and say, hey, the church is doing well, the church is doing this, and we as the members of the body of Christ, we need to be mature enough to understand and say, hey, these challenges are coming, but we're going to stay in the spirit. We're going to be like these apostles, and we're going to continue to stay on the path of God. And if nobody else does, we're going to. And this is what the apostles did. They stayed on one accord. They understood if they stayed the course, if they stayed on the one accord, if they stayed operating in the spirit and not in the flesh, because their physical health and well-being was being challenged all the time.
Right.
They understood when Jesus, and this we call books of Acts, the book of the Holy Spirit, they understood that God said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witness unto me into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the other most parts of the world. They understood that the power of the Holy Spirit would help them to be able to get through anything, any challenge, but they had to stay on one accord in the Spirit. Sheila G.
That's the key, is being led by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says put no confidence in man, and I continuously say that because if we put confidence in man, then we will receive, because we all come short of the glory. We all have that fleshly spirit within us. So if we put confidence in man, we're putting confidence in that flesh, which is putting confidence in sin. But if we put confidence in God, when those challenges come to us, we can overcome them. We recognize it's a challenge. We recognize that Satan asks. But we also recognize the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So it's like, you know what, hit me with your best shot, but watch me come and bounce back. And you really see that even, you know, in the church, but also in your personal life. That's why one of my favorite things is pull on your past victories, because you know you have been through some impossible situations, but God got you through it. And once you go through it, whether it's in church, whether it's in your personal life or what have you, you literally do come out stronger, so that when something comes up to you again, you're like, you know what, that's okay. You knocked me down a little bit. I may be in pain. I may have my feelings hurt, this situation, but God's got me. God's got my back. So I know that I'm going to come out stronger. And when you and you see that in the church, when a church goes through those type of challenges, that spirit gets so much more powerful. And then and it goes from heart to heart and breast to breast, because you sense that victory. You're on one accord. And there's nothing like having a bunch of saints together worshiping and glorifying the God that runs the Satan out of there, because it's like, okay, you can bring it, but you aren't going to stay here long. You're not going to you can sit up in here, but we're going to pray you right. You know how Mom used to say, we're going to pray the devil out of here?
Yeah.
Or she would open up the door and put the broom, and she would sweep him out. When we'd be acting up, she's like, Satan, you got to get up out of here. And she was by symbolism, open up that door and sweep him out the door. When you have that kind of confidence, it's like when Jesus, after 40 days and 40 nights, and he was like in the desert, he still was able to get that energy to throw the word at Satan when Satan was attacking his flesh. Once he got through, then the angels came and ministered unto him.
Yeah.
It's the same thing in the church. When you go through those challenging things, if you get through and you stay on one accord, then the angels come and the Holy Spirit comes, and you just get stronger and stronger. And Satan gets on. He'll try to sneak back up in there, but then you learn how to fight that battle.
Amen. And like you said, it comes to make you stronger.
Yeah.
And so if you go back to the word in Acts 5, you look at verse 12, it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So they were gathered. And the thing was, this is where they gathered. This was a place near the temple, and they were gathered there. They weren't ashamed to gather there. People heard of what the apostles were doing, and they did it in the open, and they were consistent on one accord. In other words, we weren't hiding. They weren't hiding. They were demonstrating their faith out in the open. This wasn't something done in a closet. But they consistently gathered there and ministered the word of God. And that's one of the powerful things of the church, when we stay on accord, is that we consistently gather. And I teach people that if you want to get to a place where you're led by the Spirit and you understand the leadership of the Spirit, go to church school, go to Bible study, go to your prayer service, and you'll hear the heart of your leader, and that will help you be on one accord. And I think a lot of times people take that for granted, that your leader comes to a place at a certain time every day, that every church has a designated time where you come together to get the word or to pray. And you hear the voice of your leaders. You hear the because God works through his leaders. And I think sometimes people get that twisted, is that, you know, the leader might, you might not like them, but you might not like the way they look or how they dress or whatever. But God has them in a place for real. They're a leader. And if you see them consistently come to church school, you see them consistently come to Bible study, you see them consistently praying, and if you want to hear God working through them, go and attend those things. God has people in place, and you'll begin to grow, and you'll begin to understand and hear God through them. You might not ever be, you know, buddy-buddy with them, but you'll hear God consistently talk through them. And you'll be on that one accord, because again, God has order, and his order is that he'll speak through his leaders. And you know, if you fight that, you'll keep going from church to church to church. if you fight that, but God's order is speaking to the leader. And if you see them consistently in the word, teaching the word, listen to what God says, and God will let you know that you know he's speaking the word or she's speaking the word, and the word will begin to minister to you. But that's one of the things that I share with people, is we grow stronger as we get in the word and get on one accord. We become a strong force. If we stay on one accord in that word. But if we're just, you know, playing church and just going to be seen or going to socialize or not serious about it, what happens is we become stumbling blocks, and we become stumbling blocks for our family and others around us. But we're playing church. We're not serious about gathering and doing what the word says. And so in verse 12 it says they were in Solomon's porch. They were on one accord. They came together on a regular basis. That's why it's important for us to come to church, come to worship, come to our designated Bible studies and Sunday schools and prayer times. It's important because that binds us together and allows others to see that, hey, this is important, and we're on one accord. And like you said, Sheila G., you know, the tests come, but we're on one accord, and we're able to overcome these things. And it's what they did in the first century church. They constantly say, get on one accord. When the Holy Spirit came upon the church, they were in one place on one accord. When blessing after blessing came, they were on one accord. They were together. They were consistent in being on one accord and having all things in common as the Holy Spirit dictated. And if we could, as a church, get that understanding and press our way to stay on one accord, then these signs and wonders and miracles will be more frequent, and more people will be added to the body of Christ if the body of Christ stayed on one accord. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Well, you're right. And that's one of the hardest things to get some folk within the church to understand. They make up in their own minds, and they'll say up front, well, I don't have to be there every Sunday to get minds or to be blessed, and they'll quote scripture, they'll do this, but what you don't know is really what's going on in their life. They're going through some troubles, they're going through some heartaches, because they've made up in their minds that they're going to do what they want to do, they're going to accomplish what it is that they're trying to do, rather than, as you said, you know, we come to church on Sunday, there's a purpose for it, and that's why the Lord put it it in his word. And if you study it enough, you'll understand that he was always talking about how the people gathered together, especially in Acts.
Mm-hmm.
They were on one accord. That there's a blessing in being together and being on one accord. And one thing is, you don't have to fight the enemy by yourself. You got some help.
Amen.
No,
Amen.
With the three are gathered together, agreeing and touching on any one thing, there I would be in the midst. And that's one of the key points, that you don't have to fight this battle all by yourself. You know, there are others there. You don't have to share everything that's going with them,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
they can at least be there in spirit. They can pray for you, touch and agree, and you
mm-hmm.
know that you've got a physical body who's right there with you, agreeing on what you're going through. And that helps to defeat the enemy. Now, he's going to leave for then, but he's going to come right back. But it is important for us to be at the appointed place,
yes.
prayer service, Bible study. All of that makes a difference. And, you know, you hit on it because we think that, okay, I've got something else to do. You know, we have to be consistent with what we're doing for the Lord. And then when God starts sending those tests our way, no use getting upset and crying
mm-hmm.
blues, because we're just not doing what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know, it's laid out in the Word, and you see the Word, and it's not trying to trick you. It's not trying to, you know, put unnecessary burdens on people. It's just saying this is how God works. And, you know, I want to be in a place where God works.
Amen.
and this is what it's showing. And if we go back to verse 13, it says, And of the rest, there's no man join himself to them, but the people magnify them. And again, they were standing in the midst of Solomon's porch, and the leaders were standing up, and people respected that. In spite of the opposition, they stood on the truth. They stood on the word. You know, they were able to look up, and they were able to say, hey, these men are serious. These people are serious about the word of God. They come here every day, and they stand on the word of God, and they preach and they teach what they believe. And so there came a respect for them, the apostles, that they would, in spite of all the opposition, they would stand up. And that's true leadership, that will stand on the word of God, to stand on what you believe in spite of come hell or high water, you know,
mm-hmm.
and everybody is not going to join themselves to them. You know, you got people, a lot of people say they're called to this and called to this. But when it comes to stand on the word of God, many are called, but few are chosen, and everybody's not going to be able to stand up and be that leader in the face of opposition.
Right.
But the people magnify, they respect them, and you know, when you have people with leadership in the body of Christ in the church that will stand on the word of God in spite of all the opposition, that's what you
mm-hmm.
need to stick by. You know,
right.
it's not a popularity contest. People might see, you know, that might be, you know, a position of leadership where someone's preaching and teaching, they might be up front. But it's not all fun and games. It's not all glory. It's a lot of it's a lot of things that people don't see that leaders go through. But if you're a man or woman called by God and you're standing on the word of God, you know that it's going to cost you your life. These men knew that eventually, and that's why I tell everybody that comes and says that, you know, they're called to preach the word of God. I say, well, are you willing to give your life for the Lord? Because it's going to cost you everything you have. And some people do and some people don't. But you know, every prophet of God and every man or woman of God that's ever stood on the word of God, that it's going to cost them. It comes at a cost. And so you have to consider that before you say, hey, I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to be a minister. I'm going to be a prophet. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. You know, whatever God has called you to, and you don't necessarily have to be someone that's in leadership, but you could just be someone that's in ministry, and understand that when you say for God I live and for God I die, and when you join the army of the Lord, it's a battle. It's not just the army that you're gonna sit back and chill, but it's a battle. It's a spiritual warfare, and it's gonna cost you. And so these leaders, they stood every day out in the open on the Word of God, ministering, teaching the Word of God, and a lot of people didn't publicly join them, but they were respected, and they were blessed because of the Holy Spirit was with them. And if you're looking at verse 14, and this is what it takes: people standing up, being on one accord, leadership standing up, people following leadership. In verse 14, it says, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitude, both of men and women."
Amen. G-O-G. Amen. And that's what's so important as far as leaders standing on the Word of God. And in order to stand on the Word of God, you have to know the Word of God, because in churches, what you'll find is they get hung up on certain excerpts from the Bible, and then you have these traditions. Just like they had in the Old Testament with the Pharisees and everything, that you have these traditions, but it's not in accordance to God's word. It's more of like trying to exert power. You know, we heard a powerful message from Reverend Lindsay on Sunday, where she was saying that in ministry, or doing what thing that Jesus taught us, is that we're servants. We are servants of the Lord. So just because you have position doesn't mean that you're better than anyone else. In fact, that's not how you're going to draw people to Christ. The way you draw people to Christ is being a servant. But in order to be in that ministry, you got to know God's word, and you have to stand on it even when it's not popular. Mm-hmm. Like you know, and you have to care for the people. And I know that in New Birth, one of the traditions was that women were not supposed to wear pants in the church. But we were in an area where we were drawing young people and other people that didn't necessarily have dresses to wear to church. So they, you know, so took the unpopular position, but stood on the word and said, God says, come just as you are. So when they would come, some of the leadership in the church would look at them or give them looks and make them feel uncomfortable. So what God spoke to me was, you start wearing pants. So I'd wear my pants suits for work. And sure enough, out of tradition, that some of the leaders in the church came back to the pastor and said to my husband, the first lady wore pants to church. Standing on God's word, the pastor said, here's my Bible. You show me in the word where it says that you have to wear a dress, or a woman has to wear a dress, or you can't. You can't wear pants to church. You can't wear pants to church. So you show me in God's word where it says that, then I will say something to my wife. And they could not. And then within a year's time, some of those same people, their wives, started wearing slacks and pants to church. But it's all about serving people. And like you said, they drew other people because they stood on God's word. And sure enough, people started coming in. Young people were coming in, and they were comfortable just to hear God's word. It's not, you don't go to church to be seen. But as a leader, you have to know God's word and be comfortable standing on God's word, even though it's not always a popular decision.
Amen. Dr. G, before you go to the phone lines, you want to comment on that last statement?
Yeah, I was sitting here thinking about some of them times. I mean, I could write a book about the life and times of New Birth compared to where it is now. And that church was so much filled with traditions, and, you know, the leaders, you know, they were around there quoting scriptures, thus saith the Lord, as long as it was done according to what they believed. And what Sheila G was saying, and both of you were saying, it takes a certain type of Holy Ghost boldness to stand on what you believe and not be swayed by people.
Right.
People will try their best to sway the pastor or the leader to do as they want. But it's definitely not a popularity contest. And sometimes
not at all.
I felt alone. but I knew mm-hmm. that God wanted certain things certain ways. And so I couldn't deviate from what he was saying. And sure enough, you know, the Lord had to remove people in one way or the other. And mm-hmm. through that, the ones that he added, people were beginning to come to church, and they would share, you know, that there's something about new birth. There's a certain unity. There's a love there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All that is just doing what God wants.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we have gone through some time real quick. I looked down at the clock and said, wow, we're tracking pretty good. But we want to go to the phone lines. We want folks to share their comment tonight. And we just want to just ask the question, is your test, you know, in ministry, wherever you are, can you understand that testing makes you stronger in the Lord? And, you know, nobody likes to go through those tests, but can we see that the testing makes us stronger? So we can go to phone lines. And the last four digits, we're going to go to 1741. 1741, you're on there.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, the testing does help a lot. Sometimes it make you uncomfortable. Well, for myself, sometimes it make me uncomfortable. But it does help me to grow in grace. And I ask the Lord to help me, show me what you are trying to let me know. Sometimes I go through the same thing two or three times, so I know I'm not learning the lesson. But it helped build my faith up in God. And, you know, I just pray and ask him to, you know, help me to learn what he's trying to show me.
So
we constantly just have to, you know, just keep praying and staying in the Word. And when we do mess up and get it wrong, and you know, because we are going to go astray,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But when we do, if we come with a repentant heart and truly, you know, let the Lord know, I need you in this. I'm weak in this area. I think that's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I need help. I'm weak in this area. Then God can help us. Once we acknowledge that we have a problem in an area, then God mm-hmm. can help us, and we can pass that test.
Amen.
And our testing is to help somebody else along the way.
Amen.
Help them get through it when they go through the, you know, go through the same testing. It's to encourage them and let them know you can do it. God will be with you.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We can go to the next caller. Last four digits, 7221. 7221, you're on the air. All right, sounds like we had a bad connection. We can go to the next caller, 1285. 1285, you're on the air.
Well, praise the Lord. Can I understand the testing makes me stronger? Well, I'm thankful today because I'm still in a place where I really didn't know what a test was, and that I was being tested until I came in and joined New Birth. You know, the call was open, but I didn't know which direction to take and how to go and how to be led by the Spirit and all of those things and how I can help another, because I come in and I'm, you know, thinking I can't help nobody. I can't even help myself. But I'm thankful today because reading the Word and getting connected again, realigning myself, I'm finding that I'm recognizing what the tests are and that
Amen.
I am going through the test.
That's right.
And I noticed that with I'm in recovery, and, you know, when we were out there using and everything, we had to first recognize that we had a problem. You know, we were,
mm-hmm.
otherwise we would still be walking around in denial. So I'm thankful that this thing comes in stages, and that the Holy Spirit is what I'm noticing, and the power of the Lord, it gives me the understanding to first recognize it and then realize that once he brings me through it, then I know I can help another, because I've seen where someone was going through something that I've been through, and I was able to go right to that person. You know, the Spirit just led me right to that person to say,
mm-hmm.
hey, I've been there before. Why don't you try this? Or this is what I've done, and things of that nature. So I'm learning now what the order is with this understanding that the testing does make me stronger. And I'm just thankful that the Lord has the patience and that he knew all about us from the beginning to the end, and that when he, you know, decided he didn't want to like us anymore as men, he wanted to wipe us out in Noah's time, that he, you know, changed his mind and decided to go ahead and go through with it.
Amen.
With us.
Mm-hmm.
I just thank and praise the Lord for his word. I thank and praise the Lord for this Bible study. I thank you for allowing me to speak.
Amen.
From the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Our last four digits, 3343, you're on there.
Yes. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. You know, it's almost like a Thursday that I hate to even come on the phone, because the devil always at me on Thursday. I just, I have so much to be saying something about, and it turns me around, and it changed me away. But I'm trying to ask you to forgive me, because I get wound up and get tight, and I get a good day. I go to the doctor, and the doctor give me a good thing and saying that you're doing all right, old boy, you're getting on with that, and you're doing all
mm-hmm.
right, and you're straight. There ain't nothing wrong with you. But you get around to it, and you get to the Bible study, and the devil always starts me around, and I try to stay on the right track. So if I don't stay on the right track, please forgive me. That I don't have that much to say, because I get wound up and get tight, and I don't mean it. But God forgive me. But I still keep praying and staying in my books. That's all I can say for you.
Amen.
I want you to pray for me. Pray for me.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712, you're on there.
Good evening. Just want to make sure I understand the question. So you said, do we understand, you know, why we have tests or why we are tested? Is that correct?
Yes. Is it, and it has your testing, you say the test makes you stronger.
Yeah, I definitely agree that it does. I look at it just like, you know, any test that we've gone through in our life, even just being in school, you know, you have to study for the test, you have to prepare for the test, and when the test comes, you go through it. But I think most importantly, you know, we realize too that when we're being tested, we're not going to always get everything right, but we still may pass the test. We still may get through whatever storm or tribulation we're going through. So I've always been an advocate in going back and looking over to say, okay, could that process been a little smoother? Could this test have gone a little smoother, or maybe not as been as long? And then I go back and look at some of the things that I need to better myself at. And that's what really was the turning point for me. Going back and saying, okay, I'm weak here. I'm weak here. It's always good to appreciate what you've done and what you've gotten right, but you know you still have to humble yourself and say, where do I really need to kind of strengthen up some things so that next time I am presented with the test, I can handle it that much better. You know, so this the Bible study, the prayer service, this is all the studying part. And just like anything else, some tests are just similar to pop-up quizzes. You're not going to always know, hey, I'm going to be tested next Tuesday, so I'm going to prepare, pray, do all this stuff. A lot of these tests that we go through, they just come out of nowhere. They just happen. And what do? We start reacting. We start doing all these things. So I think the things that we do in preparation for the next test are truly big, because I had to learn, look, you're going through some tests. Life is going to be filled with tests at a young age, but what are you doing to prepare, or at least try to prepare as best as you can so the test won't hit you or hit you so much to the point where it knocks you off guard, where at least it's like, all right, I got a little bump, a little bruise, but I'm okay. I'm navigating through it. I've kind of got my game plan in place. But I bump my head a lot, you know, early on, just constantly going through tests, not preparing for them, not learning from them. So guess what? I was still constantly faced with the same test, and I always ended up with the results. So I realized that once I prepared myself and I got better and I started growing in the body of Christ, those tests that came up, the similar ones, I was knocking them out the park. There were no issues. There were no problems. I stayed prayed up. I had people I could call. I could call my mother. I had scripture that I could refer to. Then when the test started to become a little different because Satan was,
yeah,
you know, maybe challenging me a little bit, or maybe God said, okay, that's great, but now I want you to take it to another level. Guess what? I had to study harder. I had to study something different in the Bible to help me with this test. I had to start picking the brain of my spiritual advisor and say, okay, we kind of got this, but now I need to know a little bit more about this because I'm facing some challenges with this or dealing with people, whatever it may be. Then that's how you develop and that's how you grow. And then again, once I get through the test, I go back and say, okay, I need to kind of tighten up here, keep doing what I'm doing here. We're good in this part of it. But, you know, the next time when I go through this, it's not going to catch me off guard like it is. But it took a while. You know, it took some talking to, it took some prayer. It took, most importantly, some humbling to say, I got to do my part. I mean, I know we give God all the praise and God can do everything or whatever, but God also expects us to do our part. He's not going to do it all for us, you know, and he's going to continue to challenge us as we get closer, as we keep saying, well, oh, I want to follow Christ and I'm serious about my Christian walk, whatever. Well, you're going to be put to the test, no pun intended. You're going to be tested in everything that we say, every song that we sing. We're going to go through those things and you're going to be tested and know that it is for the betterment of you. It's not some form of punishment. It's meant for you to learn something from it, just like any test. What are you learning from it? Are you just going through the motions until the next one comes, or actually taking something from it and then helping other people who may be going through a similar test or who may be struggling in their Christian walk to help them along the way? Because knowledge is great. Knowledge is power, but you're selfish if you keep it to yourself. If you don't share it with others and show others the way and shine a light on those areas that people have tend to be, you know, engulfed in the darkness. But, you know, I definitely thank God that, you know, he's allowed me to live this long and to get to the point where I can understand more and learn a little bit more, because I've had a lot of friends that I've grown up with who were tested, who chose to just continue to be tested. And ultimately those tests took over. They succumbed to those tests and now they're former shells of themselves, or they're locked up, or they're dead, or they're just, you know, moping around making excuses. But, you know, I thank God that I serve a God that's allowed me to say, hey, look, I'm going to give you a little time to get it together. I can kind of see your potential and see your development.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you time, but you got to take me seriously. You got to take me serious. You got to take my word serious. You got to give me more than just 2 hours a Sunday, come in, go through the motions, then go out and then do whatever you want the other 6 days and 22 hours out of the week. You got to give me more than that if you're serious. And I humbled myself and I said, you know what? All I can do is try. If I do that, I'm doing more than what I'm doing now, so I might as well try. And I thank God that I've remained humble. I thank God that he's allowed me to learn, and I have a willingness to learn. It's not frustrating or whatever. I'm studying happily. I'm calling in happily. I'm taking things, and I'm doing it because now I'm starting to enjoy it. I'm not doing it just because the Bible said we should do it. I actually enjoy doing these things. And, you know, and I hope I can keep that fire going, and I hope I can – you know, to spread that fire to others as well. But, you know, again, I just am truly passionate about this topic because I remember a time when, you know, I remember a time when I wasn't doing those things. But, you know, thank God, you know, that I've learned to do it, and I continue to grow and actually welcome the test. I'm not scared of the test anymore. I actually welcome whatever challenges may come because it's only going to make me better. And I know as long as I have God on my side, I'll be able to step forward and get through any test that may come my way. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to the next caller. Last 4 digits, 6202. 6202, you're on there.
Well, thank you. Praise the Lord, everybody. I really enjoyed this lesson tonight. I love the book of Acts. And one of the things that, that you know, I was hearing a lot is a lot has to do with us operating in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you operate in the flesh, you're operating in the wrong direction.
Amen.
And that these tests or these trials and tribulations that we go through is to help us to operate in the Spirit.
That's
We're
right.
supposed to be led by the Spirit, you know, at all times. And, yes, we do fall short. But at the moment we fall short, and we start to go into these, you know, diverse temptations, and we start to go astray, the Lord has to get our attention.
That's right.
And this is how he gets our attention and then helps us to get back on track.
That's right.
And another thing that I had heard earlier was, you know, about us having that unity. It is something about that unity, and I heard a lot of good examples about, you know, how the saints come together. But, you know, you think about Jonah when the Lord commanded him to go to Nineveh. know, they weren't doing the things that the Lord wanted them to do. And he told them, you know, Jonah to go and cry out against them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from the king, from the greatest to the least, they all fasted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They wore sackcloth and ashes, and they came together and they prayed to
mm-hmm.
the Lord.
Right.
It's
mm-hmm.
about together in unity, you know, no matter if you're the righteous or if you're the one that needs to be the repentant heart. When you come with a sincere heart and you come, you know, with that repenting spirit and you come together in unity, you know, you can do anything.
Right.
And that's the thing that I love about, you know, this word. You know, it is always, you know, better to have, you know, more word inside of you, and it
mm-hmm.
gives you the strength and it gives you that power.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you don't operate in the flesh, you know, the Lord can use you. And
right.
I heard the word a couple of weeks ago, and somebody was saying that, you know, God gave us, or God gave Jesus, you know, power over the flesh. And so he gave it to Jesus, and we have it through the aid of the Holy Spirit. And we're supposed
Amen.
To be commanding our flesh to
Right.
obey.
Right.
You know,
Yeah.
we have the power over this flesh. You know, we can decide, you know, what we're going to do.
Right.
You know, God gave us that power. We make the choices that we make, whether they're good or whether they're bad. But
mm-hmm.
if you operate in the Spirit and take
mm-hmm.
command over this flesh, then
mm-hmm.
you're going to do the right thing. You know,
Amen.
You don't have to worry about, you know, doing drugs or doing alcohol or,
mm-hmm.
you know, overeating, you
mm-hmm.
know, or, you know, saying the wrong thing out of your mouth or, you know, reacting, you know, being reactionary to things that you shouldn't be reactionary to.
Right.
And, you know, I just thank and praise the Lord for, you know, having unity and having, you know, the different tests that you go through, because
mm-hmm.
it's that, you know, my husband has this saying, you know, pain sends a signal to the brain, you
mm-hmm.
know. And once you start feeling that pain,
mm-hmm.
then you
mm-hmm.
want to cry out to the Lord and have the Lord come, you know, and heal and deliver you. But if we keep, you know, the flesh in subjection,
mm-hmm.
then we don't have to suffer as much as we do.
Amen.
So thank you for listening.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We go to the next caller. Last four digits, 2409. You're on the air.
I think that most definitely you should be tested. I think that God helps prepares us for larger tests, especially when you follow His word and do exactly what He tells you to do. Some people just sometimes don't really hear God that well, because maybe they want to do what they want to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But when you with what He's telling you to do, you can see when that's not going to pan out. He always gives you a little hint in your mind. If you do
mm-hmm.
something, if you do this, that hint, people cannot tell me that when you're doing bad things or things that's not God-like, that He does not give you a sense of that this is wrong. You hear that 30 times over. You even get whipped at the end of it. Why
mm-hmm.
do you put yourself
mm-hmm.
through that?
That's
guiding
right.
you, giving you the word and telling you what to do. You already know what you should be doing. You know how to align yourself with people that are like-minded like you. You know
mm-hmm.
some of your friends are not your friends. When I decided to take the church walk, I realized that I had to do a whole full faithful circle about who I'm hanging out with.
Mm-hmm.
Not that
mm-hmm.
I'm friends
mm-hmm.
with them. They just didn't have intimate parts of my life where I was sharing that with God. And
mm-hmm.
if they couldn't go along with my new journey, then I had to step back and I'll catch up with them later.
Amen.
And that's just,
mm-hmm.
that's just how it is. I never really had a whole slew of female friends, you know, for other reasons. But, you know, it just let me know that the ones that's going to stick around and the ones that's going to be in my life are going to also be Christ-like people.
Amen.
People, God going to put people in your life that's going to help you and further you. He's never going to put somebody in your life to tell you to do the wrong thing or to hurt somebody else. You know,
mm-hmm.
we all know that hurt people, but in
right.
the same thing, that just because someone hurts you does not mean that you have to go back and just say that, okay, I'm just going to hurt this person. So one of my lessons is that I had to, even though I told the truth with a lot of things, the way my delivery And I heard a quote that this man had gave. He said, advice without love is cruelty. So God is all in that. The fact that he even said love, God is love. So why would you want to give some advice to someone to hurt them?
That's right.
You want to always, just because you're honest and you tell them the truth, doesn't mean that you can't say it in a way that you don't harm them or don't hurt them. So I think that life lessons that God put in front of us to make us better is never to hinder us. And those who don't want to follow is just going to do what they want to do. But then sometimes you got to get that third and fourth knock upside the head until you say, you know, God already told me I had no business going over there, but I insisted that I was going. Now I got my bruises. I get it, God, and I'm not going back over there. Sometimes it takes that. But, you know, I got to a point that when I see God whipping my back, I get moving. I don't want four and five knocks upside the head. But,
amen.
You know, just happy that I can be in a place that I'm accepted and
amen.
That I can my thoughts without feeling like I need to be. I'm convicted by just even expressing my thoughts. You
amen.
Know? So.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight, Dr. G. That's gonna wrap up our callers. Yeah, a few last thoughts and close out in prayer.
Well, I think everyone pretty much have hit it on the head that what we go through in life, the lessons that God sends our way, they come for a reason, and it is to help us. It's to teach us, to train us. And as the last caller said, sometimes we got to get knocked down a few times in order to get it. But we have to be committed, and we've got to understand that God is not playing with us. He's going to get our attention one way or the other. Either we're going to do it now or later on. With that being said, I'm going to ask everyone just to bow their heads. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just another evening with your word. Father, we thank you for being able to go through the word and learn some things. Lord, we thank you for these that have called in. I pray that they've been blessed by it. I thank you for those that have taught. Lord, we pray now that others will become hungry and want to learn more about you. Father, we thank you and we ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.